Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Nice girls don't get the corner office. Unconscious mistakes. Women make that sabotage. Their careers, revised third edition, is a career development and workplace advice book by Lois P. Frankel, PhD, first published in an earlier edition and later revised for a modern professional context. It focuses on how women can unknowingly adopt habits learned in girlhood that weaken their authority, visibility, and advancement at work. The book is not a general motivational title, it is a practical guide aimed at helping readers identify behavior patterns that may be limiting their professional growth. Frankel organizes her advice around specific workplace mistakes and offers corrective strategies that emphasize assertiveness, self-awareness, boundaries, communication, and leadership presence. The revised edition updates the original framework for contemporary realities, such as remote work, social media, and evolving expectations around professionalism. Its purpose is to help women replace self-sabotaging habits with more effective workplace behaviors that support career progression and stronger recognition. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how learned nice girl behavior turns into career sabotage. The central argument of the book is that many professional women carry into adulthood behaviors rewarded in girlhood, but poorly suited to competitive workplaces. Frankel treats niceness not as a moral flaw, but as a pattern of conditioning that can make women prioritize approval, harmony, and helpfulness over authority and strategic influence. This matters because offices often reward visibility, boundary setting, and direct communication rather than quiet accommodation. The book suggests that habits such as over-apologizing, avoiding conflict, or trying to be universally liked can reduce a woman's perceived competence and leadership potential. Instead of framing the problem as external discrimination alone, the book focuses on the internal habits women can change. That makes its analysis both practical and somewhat controversial, because it asks readers to examine their own conduct rather than only workplace structures. Its value lies in naming small behaviors that seem harmless individually, but can accumulate into a professional disadvantage over time. Secondly, the book as a behavioral audit of 13-3 workplace mistakes. One of the book's defining features is its list of 13-3 specific mistakes, which gives the advice a diagnostic structure rather than a general self-help tone. Readers are encouraged to assess which behaviors apply to them and focus on their weakest areas, making the book easy to use selectively rather than read linearly. This format is important because it turns abstract advice into concrete self-review. The mistakes are grouped into broad categories involving how women play the game, act, think, market, and brand themselves, sound, look, and respond. That organization shows that Frankel sees career sabotage as multidimensional, affecting not only performance but also presentation and reaction patterns. The practical benefit is that readers can identify recurring habits in communication, image, or decision-making that may be sending unintended signals at work. The limitation is that not every item will resonate with every reader, and some advice is necessarily shaped by the workplace assumptions of its original era. Even so, the checklist approach makes the book unusually accessible for readers who want targeted, immediately usable reflection. Thirdly, assertiveness, boundaries, and the shift from doing to leading. A major thread in the book is that effective career advancement requires a shift from being useful in a task-focused sense to being visible as a leader. Frankel repeatedly challenges patterns where women take on others' work, absorb extra responsibility without recognition, or hesitate to say no. In her view, this creates a self-reinforcing cycle. When a woman consistently fills gaps for others, she can become associated with support rather than decision-making. The revised edition gives special attention to boundaries, including the realities of remote work, where availability can easily expand without clear limits. The book also argues that women should avoid softening their language excessively or shrinking their opinions to seem less forceful. This is not presented as permission to become abrasive, but as a case for being direct, clear, and appropriately authoritative. The underlying mechanism is visibility leadership, requires that others can see a person's judgment, priorities, and capacity to make decisions, not only her willingness to help. That distinction is one of the book's most enduring practical insights. Fourthly, self-presentation branding, voice, and professional perception. Frankel pays close attention to how women are perceived through their self-marketing, tone, and physical presentation. The book argues that professional success is influenced not only by what someone knows, but by how confidently that knowledge is communicated. This includes speaking clearly, avoiding filler language, and resisting the tendency to minimize accomplishments. It also includes managing personal branding so that others associate a woman with competence and leadership rather than invisibility or excessive deference. The revised edition reflects modern workplace realities by addressing social media and the ways online presence can reinforce or undermine a professional image. Another important point is that appearance and sound are part of workplace communication, whether people want them to be or not, so ignoring them does not remove their influence. Frankel's approach is pragmatic rather than superficial. She is not arguing that women should conform to narrow aesthetic standards. But that perception management is a real career factor. In that sense, the book treats image and voice as tools of professional agency rather than as vanity concerns. Lastly, why the revised edition still resonates in a changed workplace. The revised third edition updates the original framework for a workplace that is formally different from the one described in the first publication, yet still shaped by unequal expectations. Its continued relevance comes from the fact that many of the same issues remain visible, even if they appear in different forms. Old problems such as being taken less seriously, overfunctioning for colleagues, or hesitating to claim authority are now joined by newer challenges involving remote visibility, digital communication, and online self-presentation. The book stands out because it does not simply celebrate ambition in broad terms. It connects career progress to observable habits that readers can actually change. That makes it especially useful for professional women who want a concrete diagnostic tool rather than generic encouragement. At the same time, the book's perspective is clearly situated within a mainstream corporate framework, so readers looking for systemic analysis of organizational inequality may find it narrower than newer gender and workplace studies. Its distinct contribution is its focus on actionable self-correction, giving readers a vocabulary for recognizing how seemingly small behaviors can shape long-term professional outcomes. In conclusion, this book is best suited to professional women who want a direct, behavior-focused guide to career advancement, especially those who suspect that they may be undermining themselves in subtle ways. It is also useful for managers, mentors, and readers interested in workplace gender dynamics, because it shows how communication style, self-presentation, and boundaries affect perceived leadership potential. The main benefit is diagnostic readers can identify specific habits, compare them against professional goals, and make targeted changes rather than relying on vague advice. Compared with many books in the career advice category, it stands out for its checklist structure and its focus on unconscious patterns instead of broad empowerment language. The revised edition also keeps the book current enough to address remote work and digital presence, which strengthens its practical value. What distinguishes it most is its willingness to be concrete and unsentimental. Rather than treating advancement as a matter of confidence alone, it argues that workplace outcomes are shaped by repeated behaviors, and that changing those behaviors can change how others respond. For readers who want a practical self-auditing framework, it remains a notable and influential title. If you would like to support Loi P. Frankel PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.